know, it's good to be back in the house of God. Oh, let me say something real quick.
What an honor, what a privilege.
I was sitting there thinking, we were talking out there about the house of correction.
Oh, my.
And I love this correction.
I love this.
You know, correction got a bad name today. Day of people's rights. Nobody wants to be corrected.
Nobody.
But, oh, I want his correction.
Yeah.
He just leads me along. Brother Ted come up to me one time, we were talking about it. He come up, straightened out my collar. He said, that's correction.
Yeah, that's simple.
Makes me look better. Straighten a little something I didn't know was wrong, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, collar flipped up or something.
That's,
you know,
right.
Some little something, but
that's easy.
Oh, he gently leads along. He knows exactly how to touch my heart and pull me and to draw me closer to him.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I love that. That's a correction I love.
That's right, what there. I'm looking for.
Amen.
Makes me feel a little bit better about getting up here, because I was going to talk about correction. And I'm like, I'm going to sit up here and talk about correction. And then he started, so I'm like, okay, good.
Amen.
I am grateful that even though I have argued with probably every form of God that there is, whether it's in you guys as individuals, the God that's in you, or in the leadership, or in my husband who has the headship over my home. Yeah. But you know what? The correction and the rebuke that I get from that, and the ability that God has given me now to where I can start seeing that I'm actually arguing with God. Because, see, before I didn't realize it, and I would be called out of line, but I didn't know I was out of line. And see, that not knowing that my flesh and my spirit would take me and be like, you're not wrong. Yes, I was. Yes, I am. But I'm starting to see it now. And, you know, I am grateful for each one of your testimonies, but especially for those of you who are elders, who are deacons, who are in the ministry, who are on those front lines, who have all that wisdom and all that knowledge. And when you get up here, and you talk to us, it is beyond words how you prepare us to go back out those doors. And you guys, all of you, it is so helpful to me on my growth, on my journey to submit to him, to his word, to his will, for each one of you guys. And I value you, and I need each and every one of you and your walks, your aspect of God that you bring to the table, because that is what helps me when I don't even know I'm going to go down a road. You guys have already been there, and you've seen it, and you tell us, and you prepare us with the tools that we can use.
That's right.
And I thank you for that. I thank you more than I could ever say. Thank you.
Amen.
Boy, it's good to be home again. I miss home. There's no place like it at all.
Amen.
You know, we got my wife's mother in the country now. And of course, she's never been here ever. Doesn't speak any English at all. But just love. You know, you can't. That's the one thing.
Amen.
It's not a put on.
No.
It's not a show, Brother Moore. It's a life.
It's a very
life. Not something I can even help you to or make you see. No. It's just something that comes out of you,
right.
Just like a flower's fragrance. You know, we was vacationed somewhere, and she walked over this flower, and she smelled it, just the fragrance that it had.
Right.
You know, that flower, I didn't make it do anything.
No.
All that happened, it happened to be in the right condition, the right atmosphere.
Right.
And it simply produced what was already in it.
Already in it.
Nobody had to stand by its side every day and, you know, you better grow.
Right.
You better do this, you better do that. Just getting yourself in the right atmosphere, and God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
You know, he said, take no thought of tomorrow.
Amen.
Don't you even worry about it. The biggest enemy I've had in my life has been myself.
Amen.
I get myself in the way.
Right.
I get my ideas in the way. I get my thoughts in the way. But all it takes, just hold still long enough. Be still.
Right.
And God will just break it down to you, and he'll show you so many things if you
Amen.
Just let him have it. Just
Amen.
Be still. Look. You know, sometimes my mind's so busy over just nonsense, just garbage, just stuff. And, you know, I've learned the best times of my lives early in the morning, Brother Don.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking when I was on vacation, a little thought kept coming around my mind. I'd wake up and kept just thought, you know, thought like a fish. And I thought, why in the world would I be thinking about a fish at all? But what God was trying to show me is there's always a fish there when you need it. There's always, God's always thinking ahead. You know, Jonah was running from God as fast as he couldn't. God produced a fish. To simply fulfill his plan.
Right.
You know, and in the New Testament, when he needed something to feed the people, fish. Fish is a loss. And I thought, Lord, it's just that simple. You've always thinking ahead. You've always got us. Everything we need is always just that fish is just on the other side. Maybe you can't see it, but just adjust your eyesight. It'll be all right. He's got something waiting on you to take care of everything you go through, everything you need. And I'm so grateful to come in here with an atmosphere of worship.
Hallelujah.
I mean, Lord, have mercy. I just want to scream and I want to shout. I want to clap. I want to cry. I want to, you know, it's just because I love it, because it's not something that I have to work at. That's the beauty of it.
Amen.
It's not something, Brother Moore, I have to try to produce, try to manifest.
No.
God, as far as God's concerned, it's already manifested.
Right.
He's already taken care of it.
Yeah.
He's already seen me on the other side. He's already perfected me. He's already done it all. I'm simply just like that little lilac flower. I'm just simply in the right atmosphere, producing a fragrance that's already in me without me being able to do anything about it.
Amen.
It's just my very life. It's my very nature. I can't help but love the Word of God. I can't help but line up to when it calls for
it.
I can't do anything else. It's just my very nature that's already in me. Oh, brother, well, I love that. I love it when it's not something you have to, I just got to listen to my husband. I just got to listen to this. I just got, no. Just let go. Just let go. The life that's in you will produce what's already in you.
Yes, sir.
Because of who you are, not something that I made myself be.
Uh-uh.
It's my very nature. It's my very life. When I agree with the word one time, the old me was already annihilated.
It's
already been taken care of. The life that's in me now is the life of Christ.
Amen.
And it'll produce the life of Christ.
Oh,
it'll already do that because that's who I, simply who I am.
Amen.
I'll fulfill the scriptures because it's just in me to fulfill the scriptures.
Yes.
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not forcing myself to do anything.
No,
and that's what makes it so, that's what, it's a paradox. You know, because you think, I just got to do something. You know, it's just human nature. I got to, got to. You know, that's why when people come in here, they see the freedom. They see the love.
Right.
I'm not trying to make you feel well. It's just in me.
Right.
It's just my love. God is love.
Amen.
That's just who he is.
Amen.
And that love is what constrains me.
Yes,
it's what calls to me. It's that lighthouse that's on the inside of me. Hey, my ship goes this way a little bit. He sees the reefs long before I even get there.
Right.
He sees the rocks in the water long before I even get there.
Amen.
And that lighthouse calls to me. He says, now, take a little bit this way. Take a little bit this
way.
You'll be all right. I'll get you through it.
Amen.
Oh, and that's why I rejoice, Brother Moore. There's never been a freedom like this, friend. There's never been a, what manner of love has the Father, not me, the Father's bestowed upon us. He's bestowed upon us.
Yes.
He's given me that love. And that love that I got, it just comes out of me with every single breath. It's in me, Brother Moore. So when I come in here, it's just an opportunity one more time that I can rejoice. And all I can do is give him back what he's already given me.
That's right.
I'm simply saying, Lord, it's all yours. All the praise belongs to you.
Amen.
All, everything I can muster up, even those filthy rags, in one sense, it's the sweetest sound in his ears.
Amen.
He doesn't want any other sounds. He just wants you to give him back just a little bit.
Amen.
And I'm glad. I'm just honored to be able to do that.
Oh, yes.
I'm honored to be able to come in here one more time. And God, you give me just a little space of time. And I know it's maybe not seem much, but it means everything to him.
Amen.
Yes. It means it's music in his ears, Brother Moore. Just to let go, let him have it. Just fall back into his arms. He'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about that. And I so appreciate it. I so love this word with everything it's in.
Amen,
I love it when it calls to me. I love it when it corrects me. I love it when it doesn't. And all of it's just for my benefit.
Yeah.
It's just to help me out. I don't take offense to it at all. Lord, thank you for showing that to me. Thank you for helping me out. I didn't know that was coming along my way, but you already took care of it. He knows the end from the beginning.
That's
and he knows tomorrow before it even gets here. He knows what's happening on the other side before I ever turn that corner. And why would I want to come in here?
Why would I?
Just give him just a little bit.
Amen.
Just, I'll give it all to you, Lord.
Amen.
I just wanted to give you a little bit of my praise just to let you know how much I appreciate everything you've given, even things that I don't even deserve. He still just gives it to you. Oh, things that I don't even need. He says you can have it anyways. My, he gives you more than you'll ever be able to give him.
Amen.
He'll love you more than you ever think you could possibly, as much love as you can muster up.
Yeah.
He said, Don't even worry about it, honey. I've got you taken care of.
That's right. That's
He's
right.
got a table prepared for me.
Amen.
Just to my liking.
Amen.
I don't even know what my liking is in a sense, but He knows. And He's got it prepared for me.
He knows for
He's got that other side prepared just for me.
Yes.
He doesn't need it, but it's just for me to enjoy. Yes. Something I can get some benefit out of.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just love it. Such I love Him that much. I did see the sister come in with a musical instrument.
Yeah,
That sounds like a good thing,
after,
Brother Moore.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Moore.
Amen. I just wanted to get up here and give God praise for a minute because He's been doing really unbelievable things in our life. And so I'm sure you all probably remember we had that that time in, I think, late April or early May where we came in, we had that quiet ride to church. We talked about it afterwards because we got our rebuke. But we turned around, and then since then, God had just blessed that situation with the home buying process.
Right.
And then we hit a little snag, and I brought Kara because I don't want to forget anything. My mind's been frazzled lately. We've been moving so much stuff. But we hit a little snag. The seller of our house was in the wife's name, and she had died. And so they didn't have the paperwork right, and so they had told us maybe it'll be 3 to 5 weeks before we could get into our new home, which was unfortunate. And it just seemed like every week that passed, I kept getting more frustrated and more upset. You know, we weren't able to move, and this was the house I wanted. This is the house we wanted. So one night at work, I was just thinking to myself, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And I thought about how we talked about Noah and we talked about Abraham and how long they had to wait on their promises. And I was like, what is 3 to 5 weeks compared to years?
Nothing.
What is 3 to 5 weeks? And then sure enough, I think it was next week we got the call that we could close. And everybody that we met throughout this process just worked so hard for us. And I thought to myself, too, you know, it's taken this long. There's a reason for this.
Yeah.
And the whole time we were waiting, the seller, he had fixed everything on the list, even the stuff we didn't ask him to. He was blessing us left and right. We didn't even know it. And we met him at closing. He was the nicest man.
Amen.
He gave me spreadsheets of everything in the house, everything I need to know,
Amen.
How to fix or locate anything that you can think of. And then he told us he left us a gift basket. And so we went into the garage that night when we were moving stuff, and we grabbed the gift basket. It was full of all these wonderful things and this beautiful card. And then inside the card, they had left us a check for $5,000 for landscaping, which was just purely out of the kindness of that man's heart. And I know we say all it takes is a cup of water, but that's a lot more than a cup of water to me. So that man found eternal life through us, and it was so beautiful.
Amen.
I just wanted to praise God because He has blessed us all the way through.
Amen.
Well, I mean, I can't stay quiet with that because
Amen.
It was such a big blessing.
Go ahead.
And, you know, he talks about how he just, like, had that revelation, you know, while he was at work. Well, that was the day that I was at church, and I don't even remember what the message was, but I know we, you know, have been, like, learning, you know, you pray and you ask for a revelation so you can stand on that. And it just came to me that, you know, like, it'll be this week. Your closing will be this week. And I told him that, and he's like, well, you know, I was told that too. And I'm just so thankful that I have him
Amen.
As a husband. Because, you know, for anyone else going through that process where, like, it could be 3 to 5 weeks, but then your mortgage officer is like, well, you know, I've worked in title company. It'll probably be closer to a year. You know, if this isn't the house, you know, you're going to want to move on. And he said, this is the house. I know this is the house. And we stood on that, and God has blessed so much. And I'm just, you know, so
Amen.
Thankful for the experience because there's been some things that happened. We moved in and the refrigerator doesn't work. The garage door doesn't work. And you know what? It could have, you know, just sent us over the edge with everything. But we said,
right.
you know what? This just, God has been working in every single step of this process.
Amen.
And we know we have someone to meet. And the refrigerator guy comes in. So nice. We're going to meet the garage people next week. And I'm just so thankful for this message and just having this rest that no matter what comes at you, it can't throw you. You know, you have just this rest that it's not me. You know, it's God working through me, and that there's people that we have to meet. I'm just so thankful.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Sister Crystal, are you there?
Yeah.
You bring your guitar?
All right.
You're more than welcome. But since I have the mic,
Go right ahead.
This is my cousin's wife, and her name is also Crystal. God's good. But, you know, I so far, I've just been blessed by everybody's testimonies, and it's amazing. I'm just happy to have my family in town, and we had a nice time yesterday at Brother Lockett's birthday party, and then we went over to my cousin's, and we continued the celebration. But this is a treat here. I didn't realize that Sister Crystal played a guitar. So we'll see what God has in store for us. So, amen.
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 That's
good song. All right. So I have a testimony too.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't like to do this at all. But my Aunt Amy, who is their mother, said, God is three. He not in a box. Right. You go, you sing. I said, Aunt Amy, I don't want to do that. I was just trying to get it shorter. I'm going to try. And if not, I've never played a Martin. This is exciting.
All right.
But I will tell you a story about a tailor. Because one day I went into... okay, how about a chair?
Yep.
Chair.
Coming up behind you.
Good job.
We can get you
to sing.
Man. So, anyway, I went into a guitar store and I asked the guy, it's one of my favorite places in town, and I asked him, I said, why would somebody pay this much money for a guitar when you can pay $250 or $300 for a guitar?
Right.
He was a great salesman. He took it off the wall and he handed it to me. I played that Taylor and I was hooked. I said, this is why. And God, I want a Taylor guitar. And that's what I told him, because I didn't have $3,000. That was what that one was. And so I said, God, I want one. Because you see, sometimes you can ask for things, and someone, you know, out of the kindness of their heart will walk up and go, God wants me to bless you with this. But see, I didn't know anybody who could bless me with $3,000 or $4,000 guitar. Right. So I said, God, I want it from you.
That's right.
Yeah. And if I don't get it from you, I don't want it,
amen,
this Taylor guitar. So I picked it. I went in and I picked the guitar. I said, I want this guitar. So Taylor comes through town. And they had their exotics. Anybody who knows guitars would know what that is. But they had their exotics, and I saw a Koa. And it was stunning, because Koa wood is just...
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a songwriter's dream.
Amen.
And so I picked it. I said, I want this. It was $3,995. And I said, I want that guitar, God, and I want it from you. And if you don't give it to me, I don't want it. And... 3 years ago, 20 years after I said that to him, so you got to be willing to wait.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to wait. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Those that wait on the Lord will be renewed.
Okay.
And their strength will be as eagles.
Yeah.
Right? I have had to wait on many, many things. But the guitar was 20 years. 20 years. So a couple of years ago, somebody put me in a Taylor Facebook thing, and every day Fenders and Martins and Deans and some Taylors came through. And about 7 months or 8 months into that, a Taylor showed up.
Amen.
And I took a look at that Taylor and my heart stopped. Do you know when you know that it's God? When you know yeah, that you know that you know that it's your Father and that He has shown up.
Amen.
And that guitar, and my heart stopped.
Amen.
And I haven't been on that side since. But I knew that was my guitar. It was $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, remember, $39.95, it was the guitar. It was the one. I said, I want this. And I just looked at it. And I watched it and watched it and watched it. And I asked him, he said, I'll give you $150 off. And, you know, I was like, so I watched it because I didn't have it. I'm on disability. I don't have $2,500. But isn't that the point?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm just saying. That's what my husband said. Well, you don't have that kind of money. What are you doing? I said, isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Like, if I had it,
it wouldn't be a problem.
there'd be no point for God. You know, I just...
Okay.
So, and then everybody was telling me, well, how do you know he's not a criminal or a crook? And I said, because God wouldn't send my guitar through a criminal or a crook. Don't you get it? It's God. It's mine. So somebody came and they wanted the guitar. They were going to pay him cash. And I said, and I called, I texted him and I said, please call me. And he called me. We won't talk about the fact that I sent my number to a stranger. It didn't matter. He called me, and I said, so what I need you to do, now remember this guy from Kentucky, he didn't know me at all. What I need you to do, I said, is to take that down off the website, because that's my guitar. Mm-hmm. He said, okay. I said, God wants me to have it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, I told him. Take it down, and I will pay you full price for that guitar. Mm-hmm. Just take it down off the website. Tiny little man in Kentucky, didn't know me from Adam. He said, okay. Now remember, a guy named Michael had wanted to give him cash. Right. Then he waited 6 months for me to get that money. And then when I got, well, I got the money in 6 weeks, and then he said, so you want me to send it? I said, no, God wants me to come to Kentucky and get it from you. Right. He thought I was a lunatic, and yet he waited. So we still have a relationship today, 3 years later on Facebook. I wish him happy birthday and everything, but the whole point of that is this. God gave me that tailor.
That's right.
He gave it to me. And the tailor's now worth $5,000. You just got to wait.
Amen. Yeah.
All right.
So I woke up one morning, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I went, oh, my gosh, you know, slobber and hair sticking out all over the place. And I said, oh, what a hot mess. And then I thought, but God, you can do great things with this hot mess. So I jumped up right out of the bed, ran downstairs with very little on, picked up a guitar, and I wrote this for him. So how do we turn it up? Well, that would be why.
All right,
Elijah, help out.
There you go.
Devil's a liar.
He is a liar.
Is this where it goes? In here? There's not another hole, right? Okay. He said, you want volume? I'll give you volume. Okay. Please tell him I'm sorry that I'm changing things. All right, Lord, here you go. I offer you me. There is not much to see, but you can clean me up. Fill me with your glory, Lord, 'cause I want to do what you want me to. Anything for you, my God, so strengthen me. Fill me with your power, moment by moment, hour by hour. I'm blessed to be a blessing, God, and I am nothing without you. I can do nothing without you. Offer you me. There is not much to see, but you can clean me up. Fill me with your glory, Lord, 'cause I want to do what you want me to. Anything for you, my God, so strengthen me.
Fill me with your power, moment by moment, hour by hour. I'm blessed to be a blessing, God, and I am nothing without you. I can do nothing without you. A blessing, God. I am blessed to be a blessing, God. I am blessed to be a blessing, God. And I am nothing so just strengthen me. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Wow. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciated Brother James on Wednesday night, and love lifted me. And I'm just going to read this really quick because it's on my heart. We talked about it with the Sunday school. It's just Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22. It said, Master, what is the greatest commandment than law? Yes. And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the, and I've kept that law.
Amen.
I've kept that promise. That's his greatest one. And, you, and then it keeps following, it says, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love, love, love.
And Sister Michelle said, and if you love that neighbor as yourself, it takes care of all the other laws.
That's right,
because
that's right.
You love yourself.
Amen.
And I just wanted to share that this morning. I can keep that law. I love God with all my heart.
Yes.
There's been some wins and losses in your life, but that one I have kept. I'm so proud of that. That's the greatest commandment. He says, love me with all your heart.
Yes. God is love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Glad you've been a lot.
Good to be here this morning.
Yes.
First thing, I just want to thank our pastor and everybody else here that came out to my birthday party yesterday.
Amen.
I know if you didn't come, you couldn't make it, so we're not going to even worry about it. You get credit.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I just thinking all that we've been saying this morning, love is the key.
Yes, it is.
To the whole thing.
Yes.
Without the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's the only way.
That's right.
Don't do, you don't love if you don't have it, you don't love it right.
That's right.
You might have a filio.
Yeah.
But only one love.
Only one. Real love.
Amen. Only one real love.
Only one that matters.
Is that after you're born again and God just come in and take control.
Amen.
See, somebody said hard to live right, hard to be a Christian. It's the most easiest thing I ever had.
You said it.
Get out of the way.
Come on now.
That's the thing. Get out of his way. Let him have it. And he'll do it. It's not your life anyway.
That's right.
It's his.
Amen.
If you still have yours, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Get rid of it. Tell him to take that thing away from you.
Amen.
Amen. Love lifted us.
Yes, it
is. I tell you, I think about it more and more all the time. It just seems like it's just taking control.
Yes, it does.
It is.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate the Lord with all my heart.
Amen.
And I'm finding out that nothing is hard.
No, not really.
Not really. Get out of his way.
Amen.
Amen. Let him have it.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
He will do it for you.
Yes, sir. He will.
It's all about him and his word anyway. And he want to manifest his word. That's
right.
His goal.
Amen.
To take your body and manifest his word.
Amen.
Yes.
Let him have it, folks.
Amen.
And you'll find out that you didn't have nothing to do with it anyway.
That's right.
Amen. God bless you. Let's go have a good time.
Amen. I want to say that I was certainly blessed by our sister's song,
yes.
Sister Crystal Saxon back there. That's what it truly is.
Wow.
It's about giving God everything. And this message has just flipped me over. And I wanted to play a little song. And it's called, I Just Want to Be Where You Are.
Yeah.
He said that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
You know, when you're in love, all you want to be is together. Heaven, you know what he said? That he said the kingdom of God is within you. And when we have our little thing, I like to have elaboration on that. But one day I was thinking about that, and I told the Lord when I was talking to him, I said, wherever you are, that is heaven to me. So no wonder a little bit of heaven. So come on, AJ, we're going to play a song that said, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence.
Right.
I don't want to worship from afar. I just want to be with you.
Thank you.
sing page 33, Giver of Life. It's in the choruses. Be the last one.
I just got to get up here because my heart's so full right now. Sister Crystal, you touched me.
Amen.
That song's beautiful. And you know, you got the same spirit as my mom. Fearless before the Lord. It took her 20 years to come here to bless this body. And I'm so blessed. You know, she was so right when she said, you got to wait for some things sometimes. You know, I left home 2000. It's been 20 years since I've been home. There's another Hawaiian in here. He just got to go back home, you know, and see his family. And, you know, I see each and every person in here. If God did it for them, he's going to do it for me.
Amen.
I just know. I'm not rushed in no way. God's not slack concerning his promises. And I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm happy. This is the highest form of praise.
Amen.
It's something, sometimes it's not what you say. It's just an expression that you show. And it comes from the deep. And it's the deep calling to the deep. And I'm so touched. I don't even know how to say anything. But I just want to sing. I just want to sing something. Because he just touched me so much through this sister. She don't know nobody in here. And she came and gave her all. Lord, that's a rebuke to me. If I've held anything back, Lord, get me. Just get me. Like Brothers and Childers would say, just get them. Get them. Get them. Turn or burn. You're going to give your all here.
Amen. Amen.
I sing praises to your name.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name.
Great and greatly to be praised.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. Thank you for this place. Thank you for your truth. I sing praises to you, Lord. Because you've been so perfect in all of your ways. You're worthy of all of our praise. All of the glory. All the honor. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ability to give back just a little bit of what you've done for us. Lord, it's all come from you. We're just giving back what belongs to you. The praise belongs to you. The worship belongs to you. The honor, the glory belongs to you. You are our healer. You're our redeemer. You're our maymaker. You provide places for us. Solve problems for us. You do these things. And Lord, what have we done? We couldn't even begin to give you back what you've done for us. But we come here this morning with praise in our heart, thanksgiving, appreciation. Lord, you don't ask us to do much. You just said, just thank me for what I've done. Amen. Oh, when you healed the lepers, 9 of them took the healing and ran, lived their lives and did their thing. But there was only one. One who was really, really appreciative. One who really understood that you had done this great thing. And he come back and just to say, not to work for you, but to just say thank you. Lord, this morning we come not to work, but to just say thank you. You have provided all of our needs. You made a way out of no way. You showed us the way home. You have become our map when we couldn't even see which way to go. So this morning we just say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for a chance for you to come and bless us. Oh, we never know what you're going to bring, but we're thankful for it. We come bringing needs to you this morning. We ask you to bless the Kegley family and strengthen them in this time of loss. Our loss is your gain. Lord, you know all things. We ask you to touch Sister Judy. She's not feeling well this weekend, and notice she's not here today. Send forth your word to her. Touch Trevor as he's waiting for surgery coming up. Lord, ask you to move. See, you're the way maker. You're the solver. You're the healer. You do it all. Ask you to continue to touch Donna. She's to a point, Lord, she can come to the house of God. Lord, that's an answer to prayer.
Yes.
Well, they gave her up. And she's still here.
Yes.
And she's made it back to the house of God one more time. We've made it to the house of God one more time.
Yes.
Ask you to be with those that are traveling.
Yes.
On vacation. Lord, Melanie's making her way this way. In her move back to Ohio because she wants to be where you are. Ask you to bless that trip.
Yes.
Lord, as we've opened up the word this morning, we ask you to move amongst us.
Yes.
So that we can give you praise and honor, glory. Take these words and use it to edify the body and help us to move forward, knowing that, Lord, you are the provider of all of our needs. Thank you for what all you've done. Be with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I know we were here Wednesday night, but it just seemed like it's been so long. But it's good to be back. We're in the vacation season. So remember those that are traveling, some are going to be in and out, and you know, some will disappear, some will come back, and some will come tanned. But it's good to have y'all here. It's good to have our sister, Crystal. We've got crystals in the house, so it's good to have you here. And I enjoyed your testimony, and Brother Isaiah is so right. You remind me of his mom. Your spirit, your atmosphere around you, it reminds me of her. And she's all the way in Hawaii. She doesn't get to come here. She's only been here, once or twice. And she gets to tune in, I think, periodically. And so we're glad that you all came and blessed us. See, I like Sister Crystal because she came prepared. She came expecting, came prepared. If you didn't have a guitar, she brought her own. I can't fault her for that. That's the way we should be. When you come to the house of God, you don't come here to be entertained. You come bring, as Elise says, come and bring it. When you come to church, you should come bringing something. If you're gonna come here, don't come and warm a bench. I mean, you could sit at home, but when you come, you should come bringing your sacrifices. When in the Old Testament, when they came to the temple, they brought something. They didn't just come empty-handed. They brought something when they came. And we think now this is 2022. We just come and we just lay back and be entertained and let somebody come and preach and sing to us, and we don't have to clap, we don't have to sing, we don't have to raise our hands, we don't have to bring nothing. We just come and sit. You could do that at home. Save yourself time getting dressed. Stay home. But if you come to the house of God before you even get here, you should already be anxious and nervous. Don't get nervous when you get here. You should have been nervous before you got here. Because you should already be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what offering do you want me to bring? Lord, how can I edify the body? What can I say that's going to bring something back to the church? You know, they got up here, and Clarice and AJ and them, they get up here, and Sister Christy, they get up here, but they've been practicing. You can tell. They come over to the house. They don't wait till Wednesday or Sunday. They get something ready. So that if the opportunity presents itself, all they got to do is provide the vessel, and God uses them. Sometimes we come and we think, well, I can go through the service. And, you know, I would feel bad. You know, I always feel bad if I didn't come and say something. I don't want a service to go by. See, I got it made. I close every service. That's by design. I don't care who preaches. I don't care who sings. I don't care who testifies. Before the service is over, you're going to hear from me. Yes, sir. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't think I talk too much. I don't think I get up every service. Y'all feel bad sometimes when y'all get up every service. Oh, I was up last service. I'm sorry I got up again. I'm getting up every service. I got something to say every week. I got to praise every time I come to the house of God. That's why I am here. Why are you here? Why are you here? Ask yourself. Do you come just to sit? That's what Jesus asked. What do you come to see? Are we shaking in the wind? What do you come to look at? See, I got to ask the same question this morning. Why do you come to the house of God? What do you come to do here? This is the last chance you're going to get to serve God until when? I don't know. Maybe never. So what are you going to do in your last service? Come on. What are you going to do in your last service? You know, you say, on my last service, I would get and sing and testify, and I would thank God for all he's done all my life. You know, this could be your last service. Amen. I treat every service like it's my last one.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
I said the sung leaders should have the hardest job in the building because they got to cut everybody off. No, we can't have no more testimonies. Sit down. You're not singing today. Bring that back next week. That's the way that should work. And I see that around here. I'm liking it. You know, I used to tell y'all a long time. I said, y'all ain't made me nervous yet. I still ain't nervous yet. I ain't seen my song leaders really doing their job yet. They're getting better at it. I heard Kenneth this morning. He said it under his breath. This is the last one. But when you got 4 or 5 coming down the aisle, what are you going to do? Sit down. No more. I mean, that's, you know, because we should be enthused about this thing. God has been good to you. He ain't just been good to me. I'm sure he had just not been good to me this week. He woke you up this morning. He gave you a right mind. You're sane in this insane world. When the world don't even love God, you love God. You really do love him. My goodness. So when I get to the house, this is just an opportunity. Just the last chance on this side that I get to say, hey, one more time, God's been good to me. My. All right. We better get started. I always say, you can't finish if you don't start. But sometimes I just got to shake it loose. I don't know. I haven't preached in a couple of weeks. That's what's wrong today. That's what's going on. Okay, now I understand. Now I can settle down. But I come and I love a worship atmosphere. And I was playing some songs before the service started, and I kept these worship songs. I didn't even know, because you know, I like to sometimes pick it up. But this morning I just felt like worship. And then it came into the surface, worship. Then all the songs at the service was worship. And then it ended up with, I sing praises too. How am I supposed to preach with all this worship going on? That's what it's about. He's deserving. People don't want this. You know what? I want it. People don't like this. You know what? I like it. I more than like it. I love it. People think this and they think that, but you know what? They don't know what God's done for me this week. They don't know how happy I am to serve him. This is not a chore for me. This is not a trial for me. This isn't even hard for me. Oh my, you say it's hard. Try breathing. You're sitting here breathing, not even thinking about it. That's the way serving God is. Serving God is like my very breath. I don't have to work this up. It is what it is. He's my very life, my love, my strength. And it's not hard to serve God. I love serving God. I love talking about God. I love hearing about God. I love singing about God. What's so hard about that? What more do you want? What more does he have to do for you to let you know that he's here? Woo. My goodness, this ain't a chore. This is the best part of my week. The best part of my life. He said, oh, y'all are crazy there. Y'all in a cult. Y'all in this. No, I'm just serving God. I'm just serving God. I'm just doing what comes natural to me. He said, well, it doesn't come natural to me. Then get the Holy Ghost. Brother, I can try to tell you, you get the Holy Ghost, it will come natural because it's your very nature. If you're struggling with this, get the Holy Ghost. If you're having problems, get the Holy Ghost. If you don't get any answers, get the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll supply all your needs. I'll give you everything you need, but you got to get the Holy Ghost. Can I do it without it? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nate, I tell you today, you must be born again. If you're struggling, you must be born again. So Brother Branham said, this is the end to the struggling nature. You shouldn't be struggling today. This should be the easiest. You know, it's like they got the lazy river. And all you do on the lazy river is sit on the inner tube. and just ride. You don't have to pedal. You don't have to push. You don't have to do nothing. Just sit there. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's like the lazy river. You just get on there and ride. Just let him ride. He'll take you where you need to go. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what you need to do. He knows everything you need. And you're struggling. It's not even in your hands. This is the easiest part of your life that you've ever had. Amen. Get Jesus in your life, and that's the easiest life you ever have. Before Christ, you struggled. You pressed. You pushed. You tried to make sense. You tried to do this. You tried to do that. You tried to live holy. You tried to live right. You tried to give God this. You tried to give God that. You worked yourself up a sweat. For nothing. Because all you made was a filthy rag. The best you could do. The best. The best. I ain't saying the worst. The best you could do is filthy rags. And you offered those filthy rags to God and tried to make that something that he's going to want. God don't want your filthy rags. He wants you to die. Die to your thinking. Die to your traditions. Die to your ideas. Die to your family. Die to your friends. Die to yourself. Amen. That's all he wants. Amen. If he can get that, then he's got everything else. Yes. He can move the arm, and when you're dead, he can get in there and move the arms like he wants. He can take the feet like he wants. He can take you where he wants to. He can say what he wants to. He's got you. But you gotta die. You gotta die. I can always tell somebody who's not died yet because they're walking like this. They're fighting. They're fighting. Trying to live holy. Trying to live good. Trying to offer God something. Trying to bring a life. Trying to live like something. Trying to give God. God don't want nothing you got. And the whole time you're like this. And you think you're Christian. Walk around. Just die. Just die. Just give it up. Let him have it. Let him have your hands. Let him have your feet. Let him have your voice. Let him have your life.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
When he gets that, it becomes the easy river. I ain't got time to mess around, y'all. I got to preach. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. I'm gonna get over here. Amen. This is a faith chapter. See, we've been talking about faith lately. And I love it. And we've been talking about works lately. And I love it. Because you got people who want faith. Yep. And you got people who want works. Right. But you don't have people who want both.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. But it takes both. Yeah. There's a balance. It's a house of correction. Amen. It's the balancer up here now.
Amen.
Once you balanced in your life.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Now. Three verses here to start with. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. To title this message this morning, and I was struggling with this, trying to figure out how I want to word it. How faith works in the believer.
Amen.
How faith works in a believer. Because I hear a lot of people talk about faith, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
They don't know what faith is.
Come on.
They think they've got it.
Yeah.
And they think they know how to use it. But they don't know how it works.
Right.
How does faith work? What is faith used for? What is faith?
Yeah.
It says here that it's a substance. Now, I'm not very educated. So I had to look up the word substance. It's the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists and which has a tangible, solid presence. That's a substance. So faith is something real. Faith is something tangible. Faith is, you can put your hands on it, in other words. You can get a hold of it. Faith ain't something way out here somewhere. Faith is real. When you get real faith, you can step out on that. You can walk on it. That's how solid that substance is. You can step out on faith. That's all you say. We hear people talking about, oh, I'm stepping out on faith. They don't even know what they're talking about. Faith is a revelation from God. And a revelation is an understanding. A clear understanding. So when God says something to you, you take it by faith.
That's right.
But when God tells you, you can step out on that.
Right.
You don't have to worry about, oh, is he going to do it or not? No, I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. That's why the Word of God is so important, because you need the Word to understand that God will always do what His Word says He's going to do. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't have to make it happen. It's going to happen because God said so.
Amen.
And that's the way it is with faith. See, a real believer has faith in God's Word.
Amen.
Not just faith in out here somewhere or something floating out here. Oh, if this or if that happens. No, a real believer stands on the Word of God. That's why I was telling y'all a couple of weeks ago. Don't just sit out here and say we're going to believe and have faith and have faith and have faith. You got to have the Word of God to back your faith.
Amen.
That's where real faith comes in.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have the Word of God, it ain't God.
Right.
And if you don't have the Word of God, it may or may not happen.
Right.
You might have faith that your car is going to start.
Right.
But you go out there and you got a dead battery. You ain't going nowhere.
Right.
But if God ever says it's going to start, this is the difference. If God says it's going to start, you don't even have to have a battery in it.
Right.
And it'll run. God, when God says something, He goes about to make sure it happens.
Amen.
And so when God's Word says something, we build our lives around the Word. We don't build our lives around healings. We don't build our lives around signs and wonders. We don't build our lives around emotion. Oh, it's good to have this beautiful worship today, but that's not my life is built around. My life is built around the Word of God. I'm looking for the Word of God, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word will never pass away. So I cannot just put faith on anything and expect it to happen. I have to have the Word of God to back my faith up with.
Amen.
He said, well, I go to church and I believe God. You know what? If you believe God, then you should step out on it.
Right. Amen.
That's the proof of it.
Yes. Come on.
Another word I looked up was evidence. The available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. Evidence. Your faith in the Word of God is the very evidence that you can step out on this thing.
Right.
Because a lot of times we have faith for stuff, but we really don't.
Right.
We got a lot of wish lists.
Yeah.
We got a wish list. I want this, I want that, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. And then we'll take that. What we do is we take that and we say, well, I got faith for this, and I got faith for that, and I got faith for that. And don't have no word behind it at all. Don't have no guarantee. Don't have nothing to back it up. Don't have nothing to say where it's coming from.
Yeah.
It might be God and it might not. It may be you.
Right.
It might be Satan telling you something that's trying to get you out on a limb.
Amen.
So the thing is, the only way that you can really have faith is to have the Word of God behind it.
Amen.
That's why it's important to know the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't just go to church and sit here and be the dummy.
Yeah. Right.
Sit here and say, well, I believe God. You believe God.
Believe what?
What do you believe about Him?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that God's going to take care of me. How do you know that? Well, because the preacher said. Preacher, nothing.
What's the word?
You got to know for yourself. This is still an individual salvation. God deals with the Gentiles as individuals. And if you don't know God for yourself, then you don't know God, period. You can't know God because he's in this church. You might come here and get anointed like all heaven and earth is on there. Woo, come and get anointed. Oh, this is a great atmosphere and all that. Yeah, but when you walk out of here, is God going with you? Or do you leave him in here in the atmosphere? See, it's no good just leaving God here. It's not even good just come here and sing together and shout and have a good time together. You need to take him home with you.
Amen.
It's got to be Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's what this is about. This isn't a game. People come around, they look, see, unless you really understand what you got, you won't even know how to explain it to somebody. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you're trying to look at this church, you're going to really misunderstand this church. Because we don't look like everything. We don't act like everything. We don't smell like all the other churches. We don't, and they're going to look at us and think, y'all are crazy. But you know what? This is the best place in the world for me. For me. I didn't even say it's the best place for you. You got to say that for yourself. Because for a lot of people, it ain't the best place. What is faith? Brother Brenham said. Faith is something that's revealed to you. It's not yet. But you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. It's by revelation. You have to have God talk to you personally to make your faith real. Because what God does is he takes his word and he quickens it to you. And by quickening that word, you can stand out on it. You build your life on it. The reason you're saying you're going in the rapture, not because you just feel like you're going in a rapture. You have no proof outside of the word of God that you're going in a rapture. But because God said, I believe it. That's not just mental faith. That's a revelation. And because it's a revelation, I have built my life around the rapture. And to know who I am, all you got to do is see what I've done with the word of God. I'm a believer of the word of God. I don't struggle when God speaks. I don't struggle, and it's not hard for me. When God says stop, I stop. When God says go, I go. When God says pick up, I pick up. When God says lay down, I lay down. That ain't hard. You know, when I was at ROTC and we marched, the hardest part was hearing what the sergeant's saying. Because when he said turn right, you don't have to even figure out where you're going. All you have to do is just keep picking them up and putting them down, Jay. He said, right face. He says it, you did it. It's like, you don't have to worry about it. See, when God says it, all you got to do is have faith in what he says. You don't have to make it happen. See, that's what people try to make it happen. They try to make salvation happen. And that's why they clean their life up. That's why they stop drinking, stop smoking, stop running around. That's why they put on dresses. That's why they do all this stuff. Because they're trying on the outside to do what God wants to do on the inside. And they try to fix it up on the outside. Now, on the outside, it looks good. It looks right. It looks holy. But Jesus said, on the outside, it's clean and pretty, white as sepulchres. But he said, but on the inside, it's full of dead man's bones. Ever knows funeral homes are the prettiest places in town? Prettiest buildings in town are funeral homes. Don't have no life in them at all. Oh, it's full of dead bodies. That's the way people are trying to serve God. They're not serving God by faith, by revelation. They're serving God because they got a list of rules and rituals and laws that thou shalt, thou shalt not. That's why they want to keep the Ten Commandments. Do you realize we can't even live by the Ten Commandments?
No.
T- Ten Commandments were not given to us that we could live by. No. Ten Commandments were given us to let us know how we couldn't live by. God put those commandments out to show us how bad we were. Yeah. If it wasn't for the law, how would we know we were a sinner? So God put the law out there so that we knew that we could not do that. But people are every day trying to do it. People are trying to live good enough to go to heaven. You cannot live good enough to go to heaven.
Amen.
You're not going to heaven because you live good. You're going to heaven because you had faith in the Word of God. That's the reason you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you've done something. You read a cold rule, a book of rules, and you've lived by a bunch of laws. That's not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven is faith in the Word of God. And the thing about faith in the Word of God, you can't even give that to yourself. You can't even quicken a revelation to yourself. Revelation comes from God. It's not just you hearing the Word of God and saying, I hear and understand. God has to personally reveal himself to you. Until he reveals himself to you, you're not even born again. Clean up all you want. I see a lot of people go to seminary, go to college, go to everywhere else. They get their lives together, do a lot of good things, and have no faith in the Word of God. But you must be born again. It's always been God's revelation. From the very beginning, it's always, God has never changed his mind about his word. He's never changed his mind about revelation. From the very start, it was about revelation. Remember Cain and Abel? Way back then, they both served God. They both had services to God. They both, quote unquote, loved God. And I put that in quotes because one loved God and one didn't. They both seemed like they were holy. They were both religious. They were both churchgoers. They both served the same God.
Amen.
You can serve the right God and be wrong. Cain and Abel served the same God. Cain served the living God.
Right.
But there was a difference between Cain and Abel. One had a revelation. One heard from God. And the other didn't hear from God. One couldn't help but to be right. The other one couldn't be right no matter how easy God made it. Oh my. Cain brought his sacrifice because he thought it was by works. He thought he had by his head knowledge to fix the answer to serving God. He worked all year to make a nice garden. He worked and toiled and slaved and sweat and did all the things that a good quote-unquote believer should do. He worked hard at it. And then he got to a point while he was doing that, looked across the field, and there's Abel sitting out in the pasture. He's over there enjoying God's nature and raising a lamb. And Cain's like, hey, Abel, better get busy. You know we got a sacrifice coming. He said, yeah, I need a couple of months. This lamb has got to get a little bit older, but I'll be with you after a while. He wasn't sweating. He wasn't toiling. Matter of fact, the sacrifice that he offered had nothing to do with him at all. He couldn't make the lamb grow. He couldn't make the lamb live. He couldn't do anything. All he did was feed it. And the nature of that lamb did what it did because of its own nature. And then it got to a point that got down there, time for revelation. And Abel's like, and got down there with Cain, and Abel's like, you're the eldest. After you, my brother. Do you want one of my lambs? No, I don't need your stinking lambs. I don't know what to do with that mess. Get out of the way. You're going to mess up my altar. Cain put all these flowers out, smelling good, odorous, and oh, beautiful. It'd save anybody. Put all that up there, and he prayed and said, God, here's my sacrifice. God's like, what in the world mess is this? That's not what I'm about. That's not what this is about. That's not what my plan is. That has nothing to do with anything that I'm trying to do. Where did you get this, Cain? That's not my word. It doesn't even match my vision of mankind's salvation. Where did you think that? Well, Cain said, but Lord, listen. Now, I know it was an apple. I know it was an apple. The fruit of the land that caused the fall from the tree, which was your plant. And that was an ugly thing, so I thought I'd make beautiful flowers. Now, sound good. So I thought I'd make a beautiful sacrificial offering of plants to you because the plant caused the fall, so the plant is where the sacrifice is. Ta-da! Get it, Lord? He said, clean that altar off. Abel, come on. Yeah. Abel comes struggling. And here he comes, good lamb. And Cain's like, what in the tarnation? You get that lamb away from my flowers. Abel took that lamb, slammed it on top of those flowers, took his knife, cut his throat, blood everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. And Cain's like, oh, I can't watch. And God's like, you got it. It was blood that caused the fall, and it's going to be a bloody lamb that brings you back.
Amen.
That's exactly right, Abel.
Amen.
Abel had a revelation. So it doesn't matter whether you want to serve God or not. You got to have a revelation. You can't just go to church. You got to have a revelation. You can't just get in the building. You got to have a revelation. God's got to personally speak to you and let you know what the revelation of the word is.
Amen.
And what did God tell Cain? Show you how people who are not of God can't get it. God told Cain, Cain, if you do what your brother did, it would be accepted. I mean, how much clearer could that be?
Yeah.
All you got to do is bring me a lamb. See, it wasn't even so much. See, right. We think that Cain was not accepted because he was born of a serpent and all that stuff. That wasn't the problem.
No.
The problem was he brought the wrong sacrifice.
Right.
He brought it without revelation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where you come from in that sense. If you can get the revelation and do the same thing that the revelation causes for, then God would have to accept you. Do you realize if every man in this world could accept and believe what I'm preaching today, God would have to accept them? No matter where they come from, no matter what their background is, no matter what, if you could believe what I'm preaching, then God would have to accept you.
Have to.
But the problem Cain had is he didn't want.
That's right.
See, that's the problem people have. They don't want. Cain did not want the revelation.
No, that's right.
Cain did not want to do the right thing. It sounded like he wanted to. It looked like he wanted to. But when God said, just do what Abel did, God even gave him the answer. He did the math for him. Said, hey, just do what Abel did. You saw how I turned on I was with Abel. Just go get it. He got another one over in the field. Go get it and do the same thing. He didn't even do that. Now, you're sitting here today saying, why, if it were me, I'd have got that lamb and I'd have slain him just like Abel did. No. See, the thing is, whatever you're doing today is what you would have done then. If you're an unbeliever today, you would have been an unbeliever then. If you wouldn't accept the sacrifice today, you wouldn't accept the sacrifice. I don't care if you were Cain. I don't care if you were with Noah. I don't care if you were with Moses. I don't care if you were with Jesus. If you wouldn't accept what God was doing at the time, wherever you are, if you won't do it now, you wouldn't do it then. If you can't receive revelation now, you wouldn't receive revelation then. You say, if Jesus was here, I'd definitely follow him. No, you wouldn't, because you won't follow me.
Amen, Lord. Amen. That's right.
You say, well, you ain't Jesus. You just don't know. Have I been so long with you, you don't know me?
Oh,
Jesus, show us the Father. Have I been so long with you and you don't know the Father? When you see the Father, you see me. When you see me, you see the Father.
Yes, amen.
Today, Jesus is alive and well.
Yes.
You can see Jesus if you have a revelation of it.
Yes.
But if you don't have a revelation, you won't know it's Jesus no matter how he fix it. He can make him tall. He can make him short. He can make him black. He can make him white. He can make him male. He can make him female. If you don't know God by revelation, you won't even see him.
Amen.
You can't have faith without a revelation. It takes a revelation of God to know who he is.
Yes.
You just don't just walk up to Jesus and know who he is. Why in the world do you think that out of all the preaching Jesus did,
right,
he only ended up with 120? Only 120 got a word from God.
Yeah.
All the rest of them went into their apostasy and went in their denominations and went into their church. Now, they didn't stop serving God.
No.
They went to church just like they did when Jesus first showed up.
Right? Yeah.
They still went to the synagogue. They still read the scrolls. Yeah. They still sang the Psalms. They still did all the same things. Yeah. But the difference was after Jesus come was when they did those things, they did it all in vain.
Amen.
Because they did it without a revelation.
Right.
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 Amen.
Jesus said, in vain do they worship. Who?
Yeah.
They didn't have a false God. They were worshiping the same God Jesus worshiped. In vain do they worship me. But what caused the problem? The teachings and the doctrines and commandments of men. Not the Word of God. They paid no attention to the Word of God. Jesus went into the temple and was reading Isaiah 61. They sat there and listened to him read it, and he told them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. He was really playing with them. And they still couldn't get it. With God himself in a flowing robe, sitting right in the front of them, reading the scrolls and telling them who he is. They still couldn't get it. Jesus himself went to hell,
yes,
and preached to the souls that were in prison.
Amen.
And told them exactly who he was.
Yes.
Told them why he was there.
Yes.
Told him what he was going to do.
Yes.
Gave him the same chance that Abraham had.
That's right.
If you do what Abraham did, then I'd have to accept you.
Right.
But God knew they wouldn't do it. There was a gulf in hell when the Christians, the believers went to hell. Abraham and Isaac and all those, they went on one side. Pharaoh and all the other gang, Cain and all, went on the other side. And when Jesus went down and preached to souls in prison, he preached to souls that could not pick it up at all. There was no faith in them. There was no revelation in them. There was no word in them.
Amen.
And they sat in hell and Jesus preaching to them and they couldn't pick it up.
Right.
See why you can't just get this? If God doesn't give it to you, you won't get it.
No.
Live as good as you want. Be as holy as you want. Read as many message books as you want.
Amen.
Read as much Bible as you want. If God doesn't quicken this to you, it'll never happen.
Amen. Amen.
And if God does quicken to you, you cannot get away from it no matter what.
Amen.
Even if you ended up in hell, God's going to come and get you.
Amen.
Woo, come on now.
Jesus said,
that's right.
My goodness. You cannot get away from him.
Oh,
not a believer.
That's right.
I don't care how many husbands you had.
Amen.
Woman had 5, 6.
Yeah.
The one she had, she gave up on marriage. The last one she needed, she just moved in.
Yeah.
Like, forget it. It doesn't work. I know I'm believing anyway.
Yeah.
Don't matter what condition you're in, Rahab was a prostitute.
Come on now.
The biggest prostitute in town. Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
King caught her in the office and said, hey, come in here. Who's these two guys you lit in your house? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I know you lit guys. You always lit guys in your house. But these two, I don't know what you're talking about. She went back and told him, hey, I'm going to let you down over the wall. But you just remember me.
Yeah.
You remember me?
Yeah.
How can a prostitute bargain with God?
Think about it.
She had something in her.
Yeah.
She knew. She had a revelation. Yeah. She knew that they were of God. Yeah. She said, "Oh, we've heard about Israel, and we know y'all are bad, and we know y'all going to take the land. Yeah. So all I ask is that if I let you over this wall, that you save me and my loved ones." Spy said, "You hang this thread over there, leave it there, and when we come and take the whole city..." Now, look at that. They're giving promises that they couldn't even control. They had faith. They got a revelation from God. If you help me, I'll help you. You save me, I'll save you. They had a revelation. They told her something that Joshua didn't even know. Joshua was their leader and didn't know. They said, "You put this thread out there and let us down off this wall, and you save us, we'll save you." And as they're going down the wall, they said, "Oh, by the way, if you don't leave this thread here, your manifested faith, if you don't leave this thread here, we're not obligated to this promise." That's the way God is.
Amen.
If you don't follow his word like he says to it, he's not even obligated to you no matter how much you believe.
Amen.
Got back to Joshua and said, "Joshua." He said, "Yeah, how was the trip? Y'all good? Come over here by the fire and warm yourselves. How you doing?" Joshua, "Oh, it was great. We had a great time. We got there. We got to spy out the land. And we told him, well, we saw everything. And Joshua said, "Oh, good, good. Now let's get ready for the battle." And Joshua said, Joshua, by the way, we sort of did one little thing that I guess we better tell you about. The prostitute that led us down over the wall, we sort of kind of like promised her that when we destroy the city, we're going to save her and her family. What? Yeah, we're going to save her and her family. I don't even know how we're going to destroy the city yet. He didn't have a plan. I don't know what God's going to do. But okay, if you promised her that and you promised me that, then I got a promise to God. That, "Lord, got a little problem here. We got to fix." Because God told him, "Okay, I want you to march around the city one time each day for 7 days. The seventh day, we're going to go 7 times. And after that, I'll take it from there." See, Joshua had no control. The two spies had no control. Rahab had no control. But because she had a revelation, God himself had to honor that revelation. He tore that wall down. Rahab got all her family because they promised her, "Anybody you can get in your house, all your loved ones, anybody, bring them in." They didn't care who she got. We're particular about who we bring to church. We only bring the good sinners. The ones that, you know, they're not on drugs. They're not really, really bad. They just have a few issues. And God can handle that. Hey, Rahab got all the girls. "Hey, girls, we're not working tonight. Come on in here." Some of her friends that she had, clients, her father, her mother, her brother, her sister, they're all in the house. "Rahab! You can't get nobody else in here." She's like, "That's all right." And then she heard a rumble. She ran over to the window, made sure that token was still there.
That's right. Oh, man.
She looked out. The house next door was gone. And like dominoes, she watched it go down the wall, watched it go. She's like, ran to the front door, looked out across the way. Ran back to the window, looked at the other end.
You're right.
And now she got a promise. She had a revelation. God said, when God said that you can watch the walls fall and still stand right there on the revelation. God said, she watched that wall come down. It got right next to her house. She's like, it stopped.
Amen.
That's the way God's word is. When you get a revelation, you don't have to worry about what's going on around you. When God reveals it to you, like this world order, this world is falling apart. It's crazy. You can't even find sanity in this world anymore. They're all nuts. The church world, politicians, there's just general public. The whole world is nuts. This age of equal rights have got the whole world spinning out of control. But there is a little Rahab. Got a promise from God. I'm going to change you. According to Thessalonians chapter 4. Those that are alive and remain. We got a revelation. I built my life on that. Oh, I'm standing on that. I'm trusting and believing. That's the only reason I have sanity this day. If it wasn't for the promises of God and the revelation that God has given me, I would be just as crazy as the rest of this world, trying to figure out who's going to throw the, who's going to do the bomb, who's going to kill us first, who's going to do this. What are we going to? You know, it seemed like after all these years, it wouldn't be possible for one man to go and take another person's country. As smart as we are now, it seemed like it wouldn't even be possible. You would think. It's happening right under our nose. You say, haven't we learned anything in 4,000 years? No. Man is cruel and evil to the core. And only sanity we have is the revelation of the promised word of God. And if you don't have that, I feel sorry for you because you have no hope. You're not resting. You're trying to find the better place. You're trying to figure out who's got the best message, who's got the best church, who's got the best government, who's got the best politicians. None of them. It broke my heart years ago when I found out that the Supreme Court was political. I was naive. I was so naive. And when I said, oh, man, none of them are. I thought, because they don't clap at the State of the Union, I'm thinking, oh, they're biased. They're not biased. They're just neutral. That's good. That's the way Supreme Court should be. It's not. They're just as bad as the rest of them. And that broke my heart, because that was the last place I had a little hope. But it's all gone. But this world is not my home. Jesus said over Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, at this time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed it unto babes. It takes a revelation. You don't love God just because you love God. It's a revelation. It's a personal relationship between you and Christ. See, people have gotten away from personal relationships. They don't even like using that term in this message. Even they always want to use the message. You got to believe the message. They don't even know what that means. Believe the message. Believe the message. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, that's old-fashioned. It's still the way. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. You must be born again. You have to know that God's living in you, and you have to know that you're living in God.
Amen.
That has never changed and never will. Amen. Until we get out of here, that's the way it is.
Right.
You're not going to have a family-associated religion. Mom and daddy can't save you. You say, well, I'm going in on their token. You better hope they have one.
Yeah.
Don't be Rahab's neighbor.
No.
Saw Rahab put a token out on her window, and they pulled one out on theirs, thinking they're going to be okay. They didn't have the promise. They didn't have the revelation. All they did was mimic what they saw Rahab do. You must be born again for yourself. Nobody under the sound of my voice can get out of here without a revelation. You say, I'm a good Christian. What makes you a good Christian? Because I live good. I don't do this. I don't do that. No, you must be born again. I don't remember one Christian that Jesus ever chose that was a good person. I'm sorry. We got a picture of the Last Supper. It looks everybody looks like they're all in order. But what y'all don't understand is Jesus was sitting there with thieves, liars, murderers, hothead, tax collectors. He had the worst of the worst sitting around that table. And we look at the Last Supper and think, wow. Those are all saints. Those are the worst people in the world. And that's why the Pharisees and Sadducees hated him so much, because he hung around them. He hung around prostitutes. He hung around people that had messed up with the law. The guy that carried his bed on the Sabbath day, he's a sinner to them. Jesus hung around sinners. But you know what? That's who he come for. So only the sick needs the doctor. If you're well, you don't mean it. If you've got this figured out, church, already, you don't need to be here. You graduated from serving God. Go on out there with your holy self. I ain't seen one person walk out there with their self-righteous holiness that get any better. They get worse. And they get worse. And God turns them over to a spirit, a reprobate mind. You wouldn't even believe what I've been hearing what our young people are saying.
Yeah.
And I don't even follow it. But our young people are nuts. They've got a reprobate mind. They don't even know what hard living is. Oh my goodness. But they believed a lie. And they can't help themselves. They're going out there. Now, I've had them leave saying, well, we're going to go find a better church. You ain't going to find a better church. Oh, I'm going to find somebody that's more spiritual. You ain't going to find nobody more spiritual than me. Well, I'm going to find a doctor of divinity. Go on. Go on. Fly, little bird. Go. Get on out. But what you're going to find is you're going to go out there and Satan's going to deceive you like he's already deceiving you. You're going to be caught up in the middle of this whirlwind. This world, you are no match to this world. You are no match to this world order. Oh, they've got everybody's mind so messed up.
Amen.
You can't spank your kids. You can't do this. You can't do that. No correction when the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Amen.
That's the problem with the kids today. They've never been whipped. They're spoiled. They don't believe God. And they're the future future people. I wouldn't even say future church because they don't go to church. They don't believe God. Future leaders of the country, of the world. If this world makes it, and it won't. This thing is falling apart. Falling apart. But this little bride has a revelation.
Amen.
This little bride knows what the promises of the Word of God is.
Amen.
When the world is in darkness, we're in Goshen.
Amen.
When they can't find a way out. Oh, I got a light right in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
Thy word is a light unto my path.
Amen.
In the middle of darkness, I'm seeing clearly.
Amen.
When they got all those plagues down in Egypt, Goshen was having parties.
Yeah.
We're celebrating and we're loving God and we're rejoicing and having a good old time and singing praises to our God and doing all these things and just loving it. And the rest of the world's living in fear, darkness, trembling, don't know which way to go, don't know where to turn, don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh, I know what tomorrow holds.
Amen.
I know who holds tomorrow, and he's got my plan. He's already got my trip planned. He's the best travel agent ever.
Yes.
He's got my trip planned every stop on the way.
Yes, sir.
I got some stops to make between here and the new earth.
That's right.
I go from here to glory,
yeah,
to a marriage supper.
Yeah.
And when I get to that marriage supper, I'm going to eat and feast with him and take communion with him. And I'm going to do that for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And after that, he's got my trip so planned, I got another place for you to go.
Yeah.
Let's take you over here to the earth here. And we're going to stay down here to the earth. And we're going to play around on there for 1,000 years. Because
yeah,
I've cleaned off all Satan and all the unbelievers. I wiped the earth off.
Amen.
And only one's going to be down there is going to be the bride of Jesus Christ and his friends. And we're going to live down there for 1,000 years. Because he said, I will break that curse of
Amen.
Sin. And the 1,000-year millennium is the break of that curse. That's a promise. That's a revelation. But that's not all.
Come on.
I got a date for you.
Yeah.
I got a marriage wedding that we're going to have that. Then we're coming to earth. And after that, we're going to have a white throne judgment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to raise up all those liars,
yeah,
all those adulterers,
yeah,
all those unbelievers,
yeah,
all those people that's sitting in hell that wouldn't listen to me. And I'm going to raise them up. And I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. I'm going to give those that loves you and helps you, I'm going to put them on the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to put those on the left that couldn't have, that had no place in them for my word at all. And I'm going to put them on the left. But oh, that's not all of it. When I get rid of them, I got another place from you. I got a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And from that new Jerusalem, I got a city. That city that's built four square. That's going to be a 1,500 miles square. And we're going to live in the top of that city. These are promises of the word of God. This is what's in store for the bride. That's why I can't be down. That's why I can't be sad. That's why I can't be disappointed. Let the world fall apart. I got a travel agent that's got plans for me.
That's my promise.
That's why I can't be sad. I already know where I'm going. I already know what my future holds. Things that ought to be are just down the street.
Amen. He said it.
Song says it won't be long till we'll be leaving here. Count the years as months. Ain't that long. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days, Jay. Any day now. Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm not going to read the whole thing, you know it. Blessed are Simon. See, Jesus was trying to find out if they had a revelation. I can come down the aisles today and try to find out if y'all have a revelation. Oh, by the way, they're not loaded. By the way, Sunday night, a week from today, 7 p.m., we're starting Bible study. Yay! I meant to announce it, but I forgot. I got too excited about serving. Jesus wanted to know who they thought he was. And they said, well, Jesus, they think of this person. They think of that person. They think of this. Jesus said, wrong. They didn't get it right. He got tired of that. I said, okay, Peter, tell me. Who do you say? Who do you say that I am? Personally. Not what the group thinks. Not what the world thinks. Not what the young people think. Not what the people... You know what? The worst critics of our church are people who leave. They're worse than the devil. The devil don't even talk about me like that. Anyway, who do you say? See, the thing is, you got to know this for yourself. Yeah. Don't listen to what other people say.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was asking them. And he was asking what everybody, and everybody had it wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Because he answered him. Yeah. He said, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, man. Say that again in my good ear. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't use what anybody else said. See, you can't go by what everybody else thinks. They will lead you astray if you don't know what you got. As long as you're wishy-washy, back and forth, not happy, not sure, never satisfied, never really giving it all, just taking nibbles and bites and just barely... You can't swim that way.
No.
Just jump in. The best way to do when you're going to jump in a pool.
That's right. Yeah.
Just jump in. Oh, you can get in here. That's the way some people serve God. Best thing is just to get on in there. Get on in there. All or none.
Yes.
Don't have to. Don't have serve God. No. Don't have do this thing. You got to know this thing for yourself. Yes. And when you know it for yourself, nobody's going to move you. If Clarice gets to the place, she looked cross-eyed at me and said, I ain't serving God no more. I'll see you when I get home.
Yes.
See, you don't have to serve God to be married. I love the way God always answers everything.
Yeah.
He said, if you please to dwell together.
Yeah.
In other words, if you want to stay together, stay together.
Yeah.
It don't have nothing to do with God, because it's an individual thing.
Yeah. Right.
If Clarice didn't want to serve God, you know what I say? I'll see you when I get home serving God.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, I always tell y'all that me and my house, this house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And you know what? You're going to have to take a stand.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be bold about it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to back the devil out of your mustache.
That's right.
And let him know who you are and where you stand. And I'm not moving nowhere.
Yes.
I've been revealed. That God has revealed this to me.
Yes.
When I first come here and God told me this is your home, I said, well, Lord, let's wait and see what Nate and Clary's. He corrected me right away.
Right.
He said, no. I said, this is your home.
Right.
I'm like, okay, then. Okay. I told him when we got out of church, I said, I don't know what y'all going to do. But as for me, I ain't never going back.
Amen.
Never.
Yeah.
Didn't look back. Didn't take down. Didn't wait for them. If they want to come with me, fine. If they didn't, fine. Matter of fact, one of the two down here today. If I waited on her, I'd still be gone.
Right.
But God's dealing with you as an individual. And you got to know this thing for yourself.
That's right.
That's the way he works.
Right.
Flesh and blood didn't. Blessed are Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. What rock?
Yeah.
The rock of Revelation.
Yeah.
Same thing God's been working on since Abel. Upon this rock. People say that rock is Peter. That's not Peter. Peter, he lied. How are you going to build a church on a lying man? They try to say they built the Roman Catholic Church on the bones of Peter. Well, that's fine if they did. That ain't going to change the rock of God. That ain't going to change nothing. And they think they built on the rock of Jesus. It's not that. It's the revelation of who Jesus is.
Amen.
It's always been revelation. Remember, faith and revelation is one and the same. I ain't off my subject. I ain't off my subject. Revelation and faith is one and the same. God personally reveals himself to you. That gives you faith.
Amen.
The reason I can stand today in the devil's mustache is because God has given me a revelation of who I am.
Right.
Not only just who Jesus is, but I know who I am.
Right.
And when you know who you are, you ain't going to stop and let the devil talk you out of anything.
No.
That's right.
As long as you're letting the devil talk you back off of something, then you haven't got a revelation. You just got a good idea.
Amen.
And your ideas can change. But I'm not dealing with changing ideas. I'm dealing with a revelated Christian,
Amen.
A believer of God who will stand on the word of God. Paul said, he told us nothing can separate us
Amen.
From the love of God.
That's
a revelation. When you get a revelation, nothing's going to move you.
Right.
Nobody's going to tell you you're not a Christian. Nobody's going to tell you you're not going to heaven.
Ooh.
Nobody's going to tell you you don't know who you are. Nobody's going to tell you you can't go. Oh, I'm going.
Amen.
If I have to disappoint you on the bus, I'm going. I've already got my token. And it's paid in full by Jesus Christ at Calvary. And you can't stop me from going. Do you realize nobody can stop you from going?
No.
Talk about me as much as you please. That don't stop me from going. Tell me how much you don't believe it. I already know you don't believe it. I knew you didn't believe it when you walked out the door. Only one surprises you. Church is built on revelation. But how do you get faith? See, people think you just come up with a cough up. I got faith. No. You don't just get faith. There's a way you get faith. There's a way you get revelation. Because the way that God does it is perfect every time.
Yes.
Romans chapter 10, saving time. Just jump down to verse 17. I want to read it all, but I'm not. It's almost noon. So then, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing your favorite preacher?
No.
And hearing by the word of God. You cannot hear unless you have the word of God.
Amen.
See, the devil's whole trick is to get you away from the word of God.
Amen.
That's it. He don't have no big game plan.
No, he
has one thing on his agenda. Get you away from the word. That's his only trick. Get you away from the word. Now, he used a lot of attributes to get you there, but he'll use your family. He'll use your friends. He'll use your own self. He'll use your, he'll just, whatever he can do to get you out from under the word, he'll do it. Because he know if he gets you out from under the word, then you can't get faith.
Right.
You can't have revelation.
Right.
And without revelation, you're going nowhere.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So faith cometh by hearing. You can't get it. How can you hear? I don't have time.
Why you gotta speak it?
How can you hear?
Yeah.
Except to be preached.
Yeah.
Oh, all these scriptures run.
Yeah.
You cannot hear unless it's preached to you.
Right.
So you not coming to church is the worst thing that could ever happen to you in your life.
Amen.
That's why you get these weirdo ideas. That's why they think, oh, so messed up. Oh, my mind is messed up. Your mind's messed up not because of church, but because you left church.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
No, you're right.
That's right.
You can't get straightened out unless you hear the preacher.
Right.
How can you hear except be preached? How can he preach? Who's he? Me.
Right.
How can he preach except to be sent?
Right.
You got to have a revelation that I'm sent from God.
Yeah.
Because you won't even pay attention to what I say if you don't believe I'm sent from God.
Right.
And if you don't believe I'm sent from God, the words that I'm speaking don't have effect on you at all.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Everybody that preaches doesn't come from God. That's why you have to know the Word of God. Because when you hear the Word of God, you should be able to go back to the book and find out. That's why I put scriptures in here. So you see, I ain't just blabbing off. I ain't giving you some feel-good social message that's going to tell you about how to be a progressive Christian.
No.
Or how to better your home and how to be financially stable. I don't care if you're flat broke. If you get a revelation from God, you're going to heaven. I'm not trying to make you have heaven on earth. I'm trying to get you for the real city. Get you ready to get out of here. People want to make you financially stable. That's good if you are. But what if you're not? They got stadiums full of people. And they're telling them how to get rich. How to be a progressive neighbor.
Right.
How to be a good person. They give you all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they load you up with so much stuff that there's no room for revelation.
Uh-huh.
That's why Jesus said, by the words of the words that make the word of God none effect.
Right.
When the real preacher preaches, if you've got all of your creeds and dogmas and traditions in your head, you can't even hear what the preacher's saying because you already got your mind made up. That's why you got to die. That's why you got to lay it down. That's why you got to give it up. Because God cannot quicken a creed. He won't do it. He won't quicken your ideas. He won't quicken what you think it is. You'll have thus said the Lord or God won't quicken it.
That's right.
Got to have a real man of God that's going to bring you, thus say the Lord, the word of God. How can a man preach except to be sent?
Right.
Everybody ain't sent.
No.
Got more churches now than we've ever had in the world, and the world's worse than it's ever been. What's the problem?
Right.
Full of traditions, full of man's idea, and no God in them at all. But when you have faith, you have authority. When you have faith, you've got the ability to stand up against the devil and say, you know what, devil, you got to get off. This belongs to me. When it comes to salvation, he pounded me with that when I first come here and pounded me like, you ain't saved, you ain't saved, you ain't saved. I got my revelation. And he said, you ain't saved. I was like, I am saved. He's like, okay, fine, you're saved, but you're an awful Christian. I'm like, yeah, maybe, but God's working on it. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. So don't just give it a little time, Satan. Now it's been 40, well, I don't know, 40 something years. Seven? I don't know. 40. I don't know. Hello, Don. How much? And the devil has a hard time trying to convince me that I can't go. He should have got me a long time ago when I was a weak Christian. He should have got me long time ago when I didn't know who I was. He should have got me long time ago when I still didn't know the Bible. But I've read enough in that word. I've seen my name in there. I'm like John in the book of Revelation. I got that book open and I've seen my name, and now all heaven, all earth, and everything beneath the earth heard me cry.
Amen.
Too late, Satan. You lost a soul that you never had. That centurion won't read it over there in Matthew, but he'd come up to Jesus and he told him, Jesus, I got a sick servant. I need you to do something about it. Jesus said, all right, I'm tired, but I'll go to your house. Centurion said, hold it. Don't even bother yourself. He says, I'm a man of authority. See, when you got authority, you don't have to have everybody pat you on the back. He says, I'm a man of authority. And when I tell a servant to come, he comes. When I tell a servant to go, he goes. When I tell them stand up, they do. And they sit up. I know how authority works. Yeah. Jesus, you don't even have to physically come to my house.
Right.
All you got to do is just speak the word.
Yeah.
Just speak the word. See how powerful the word of God is?
Yeah.
Just speak it.
Yeah.
Just speak the word. And the authority that you have invested in me. That's what I do when I do the wedding.
Right.
I'm invested. Ooh. I got authority invested in me.
Yeah.
I can pronounce you man and wife.
Yes.
And it's thus.
Yes.
Oh my. When you got authority of God on your side, you don't need a man in a flowing white robe. You don't need a man with a long beard coming down here and telling you, this is the word of God. I've got the authority of God. When I have the authority, I can speak like Jesus himself standing here. That centurion said, see, that's why healing's in our hands.
Yes.
That's why a victory's in our hands. That's why prayer, we can pray for the sick and they'll get recovered, they'll get healed.
Yeah.
We pray for these things and it happens because we have authority.
Yeah.
That the centurion said, you've got authority, Jesus, and all you got to do is speak the word and whatever you say will happen.
That's right.
Oh.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh. You got to know the word.
Yeah.
Jesus was so turned on by him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he looked at that man and said, I have not seen anybody with that much revelation
right.
in all Israel.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Woo.
Yeah.
It turns him on for you to use your authority.
Yes.
Right.
It turns him on for you to use your faith.
Right.
It turns him on for you to be able to take the word of God and blast it in the devil's ears and send him down the street crying, yelping like a dog has been hit by a rock.
Right.
It turns him on. It doesn't even turn him on for him to do it.
Right.
He'd rather you do it.
Amen.
When he was dealing with Job, the devil come and said, the only reason Job loves you is because you always protect him.
Oh.
God said, take it all away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take it all away. But one thing you can't touch. As the devil's going out the door, he said, oh, boy, by the way, one thing you can't touch is don't touch his revelation.
Right.
Don't touch his soul because
right.
that's me.
Right.
I don't care what is going on in your life.
Right.
You got to understand you have the authority to hit the devil with a rock to send him on his way because he cannot touch your soul.
Amen.
Oh, he can touch your house. Job got boiled. Oh, he can touch his spirit. His wife told him he didn't talk. He needs to curse God and die. Broke his heart.
Yeah.
That was a spirit. Broke his spirit down.
Yeah.
But there was on the inside of the inside something that looked at his wife and said, you talk like a foolish woman.
Right.
He rolled over there to the ash heap, started picking the boils off. Says,
right.
I don't care what I'm going through.
Right.
I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah.
I got a revelation.
Because
I can look over to the tree and I can see how in the fall the leaves drop.
Yeah.
And I know that in the spring that God's going to raise that tree up again.
Yes,
and
he
says, I know that in my body I shall see the Lord.
Amen.
That was a revelation.
Woo.
And no matter what you're going through,
Lord.
If you have a revelation from God, the devil cannot hold you down.
Amen.
That's real faith. That's the faith of a believer.
Amen.
That's a real Christian. He's standing on the word of God. And Job knew just by looking at nature, that nature was testifying to these things. And he knew that he was going to see the Lord again.
Right.
And I can tell you this morning, if we never get together again, if something happens to me today and I lay this tabernacle down, don't worry about Nate. Nate's got a promise.
Amen.
If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another waiting on me in the heavens.
Amen.
Don't care. Don't cry for me. Don't weep for me. Don't think I'm let down and out and God left me. God didn't leave me. God took me.
Amen.
Jesus told him and said, they don't kill me. I lay my body down.
Amen.
devil ain't gonna kill me. When my time comes to go, I'll lay this thing down. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to have faith that God's going to keep his word and change my body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
I'm like Alice. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Oh, Lord. He is a keeper of his word.
Amen.
That's how faith works in the believer.
Amen.
We hear the word. We believe the word. We stand on the word. And you know what? When we pray for something, we pray that we're going to get it.
Yes. Yes. Right.
We don't pray in unbelief like, oh, God, if it be thy will. If it be thy will, your will and my will is the same.
Amen. Amen.
What you love and what I love is the same.
Right.
What I asked for, you knew I was going to ask and said, because you told me that you know what I even asked for before I asked for it. So I'm not going to whine around and try to beg God for something. I'm going to do just like a son does. A son goes to his father and say, Dad, I need this. Dad, I need that. Dad, I want that. Believing that he's going to get that.
Amen.
I got a quote here. Brother Branham said, that kid, he said, we ought to be like that woman with the unjust judge. I won't read it today because I'm closing out of here. He said, that unjust judge, when she come and she begged and she come back the next day and she begged and she come back the next day, she tired him. She wore him out. God wants you to wear him out. Don't ask him one time and then stop. Ask him for that guitar and wait 20 plus years to get it. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, but don't stop asking.
No.
When circumstances come up, change the circumstances.
Yeah.
When the devil tries to tell you you can't do it, let him know I've already done it.
Yeah.
It's a finished work. God said I can have it. Ask what you will. You have not because you ask not. We ask in faith, believing that God's going to do it. Don't take down. I don't care if I go blind. I'm going to believe God for total healing. I don't care if I never walk right. I'm going to believe God for total healing. I don't care if I lose a patient. I'm going to believe God for still resurrecting. That's a believer, because we're not believing by what we see. We believe by what the word says. And if the word says I am, then I am. If the word says I can have it, then I can have it. When we have a cancerous case come our way and you look at them and say, well, how should we pray now? And I say, oh, Don, don't worry about it. Pray like a believer. It doesn't matter if it's a common cold. It doesn't matter if it's COVID. It doesn't matter if it's cancer. Pray for God to move.
Amen.
That's all believers can do.
I'm
not going to pray any other way.
No.
What's the other way to pray? Oh, God, I know this is a hard case. If it be thy will, I know it's tough, and I know the doctor says and society says. And no, you pray that way. You pray that way. You pray, God, this is a case that you said if you can just get the believers to believe. Not even cancer will stand in your way. You say, well, but what if I lose a case? If you can get the believers to believe, not even cancer will stand in your way. That's all believers can do. I'm not going to pray in any way. What? How else are you going to pray? Lord, cancer's a hard case. We can't win this one. No, Lord, I'm a believer. That's where I stand. That's where I stand.
Yeah.
Here I stand.
Yes.
Believing the word of God.
Amen.
That's what faith does. That's Amen. What believers do. That's who we are.
Amen.
That's why we're not like the rest of the world. They don't get us.
No.
Because they're looking for something they can see.
Right.
There's something they can hear.
Right.
Something they can feel. Now they look at our sister who got the guitar, and the first thing they'll say is, why didn't she get it when she first asked for it? God knew she wanted it. God has some lessons to teach her. Patience. Wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew. These are all the word of God. They're all the scriptures. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall soar and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, there's lessons in life, but it doesn't get the believer down because we have revelation. We have faith. We know who we are. When the family turns their back, we know who we are. When your friends turn their back, we know who we are. When we lose a loved one, we still know who we are.
That's right.
Amen. If God don't come today, we know who we are.
Amen.
I'll look for him tomorrow.
That's right.
If he don't come tomorrow, I know who I am. I'll look for him the next day. I talk to the saints every day.
Oh, yes.
I said, you know, they didn't hear you today. Well, they're going to hear me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, they hear you, but they ain't coming. They may not come today, but they'll come tomorrow.
That's right.
I ain't going to let the devil put no block in my way. Say, oh, stop calling for him. Oh, I'm not going to stop. I got a strip that says, when the Son of Man come, will he find faith on the earth? I can answer that.
Yeah.
I can answer that.
Yeah.
Yes, he'll find faith on earth because I'm here.
Right.
Revelation is here. God's still revealing himself to us.
Yes.
He will reveal the body change to us.
Yes, 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 yes,
Lord. Bro, don't know nothing about that. That's how faith works in a believer. Faith just puts the muscles there so you can whip the devil with. Faith puts the strength there so you can stand up in the middle of adversity. When they, you know, I watch them change that word. I get tickled. I don't try to push Christianity. I really honestly don't. I don't believe in that. I am just who I am. But my boss is boss. I'm watching her. She's now gotten to a place. She's cussing. I didn't know she was a cussing lady. But I found out she is. The last couple of days I've been working with her in her office. And she'll go to do something. She says, man, I'm going to be like, and look at me and go, oh, I mean, I'm like, I ain't telling her to stop. It's just the atmosphere that I'm creating around me is sucking her in. And she wants to change because I'm there. And it's just pulling her in. And she's like, she'll be saying something, she'll do something. She'll go, blankety blank. She's looking at me, oh, I mean. And I get tickled because it doesn't offend me. I mean, I just create the atmosphere.
Right.
And however you want to treat God is how I want you to treat me.
Yeah.
I don't even tell you I'm God. If you're going to be ugly to God, be ugly to me.
Yeah.
If you want to be good to God, you'll be good to me.
If
you're trying to watch how you talk because you talk by nature that way, and you're trying to straighten it up because I'm in there, do you know who you're straightening it up for?
That's right.
You're doing that because God's in your presence.
Yes.
You don't even know who it is.
Exactly.
You don't even know why it's happening.
Oh, yeah.
But all you know is something about you makes you uncomfortable about being who you are.
Yes.
It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I sit there and let them do and say and be what they want. And I get tickled because they find out things and they're just, oh, I'm sorry. And they back themselves up. Do they realize? They don't realize they're doing that to God. And it's my very nature that's pulling them in there. And there's something about them. See, the thing is, what you got to understand is everybody ain't trying to be bad. They want to be good. And they have something in them. If they've got something in them, it pulls them that way unconsciously. And then when they get to that great white throne judgment, because I'm not going to the judgment, I'm going there to judge. But when they show up with their cussing self, they stand there, and that big old screen starts showing them their life, and they're like, oh, blankety blank, blankety blank. Blankety blank. Then they get to one spot where I'm in our office and Nate's in there and they go, blank, oh. Yeah. You know what God's going to say? As you did this to the least of my brothers, your desire was to be right with God.
Yes, yes.
You've done it unto me. Stand on the right. And like, but I was just being nice to him. I never went to church. I never did this. I never did that. I said, you were good to my people. You were good to me. And see, the people can see the revelation living out through you, and it changes your very atmosphere around you. And they don't even know. They can't help it. And they do it because of who's there in them, and with them. We are special people. We have faith in the Word of God. And that faith, and I'm not even halfway through, but I'm cutting it off. But we are people who are walking in faith, creating a world. We're creating, you know, you're creating your world and living in it. You make your neighbors bring you cookies. Not because you ask for it, because there's just something about you. You make them hold the door for you. Not because they have to, just something about you. You make them bring you water. I had a guy the other day. I was working away. We were moving to the office, and I'm sweating up a sweat. And they had all the water fountains turned off in the building. And I'm sweating and working, and a maintenance guy came at me. He said, I got some water in my truck. You want one? I'm like, being nice. I forget who I am. I'm like, oh, no, thank you. I just kept going. I got downstairs. I said, wait a minute. Did he just offer me a glass of water? I made my way back up there. I thought I went outside. He's down there by his truck. I said, "You still got that water?" Oh yeah, brought it out. It was ice cold in a cooler. I thought, "Thank you." He don't even know what he's done. He was fulfilling the scripture, and see, everybody's fulfilling the scripture. Everybody's fulfilling the scripture, whether you want to or not. You say, "I hate Christians and they're devils," and no. Yeah, you're fulfilling the scripture. Somebody's got to go on the left. I mean, everybody's fulfilling scripture. So some people are going to treat you bad. Y'all get mad because they treat you bad. You know, the Bible tells us don't be mad about evildoers. Don't worry about them. He got a place. I got the left side. He said, somebody's got to do it. It's like, what part of scripture am I fulfilling? Get on the left. Okay. But this guy, this maintenance guy, handed me this water. And I thought about the scripture, Matthew 25. When I was thirsty. Do you realize we are the living Word of God? I was living the scripture right in front of their eyes. When I was thirsty, you gave me the drink. Do you realize a cup of water is enough to go to heaven? Get on the right. When did I do this, Lord? When Nate was hot and sweaty. And he's standing out there in the parking lot. Look at the screen up there. You see what you're doing? When you've done this, the least of my brethren, you've done it under me. It's not hard to go to heaven. You just got to want to go. You just got to want to go. People aren't going to heaven because they don't want to be there. They really don't. They act like it because they're religious. But they don't want to go to heaven because the proof of it is when the word comes forth, they turn it down. Get on the left. Faith. How faith works in the believer. This is a good start. It should bring some good questions next Sunday night. When we have our Bible study, bring those questions. Bring them on. Jay will answer them. Now, we're going to start Sunday night without the being on the internet, so they're going to be mad because they're not going to be included. But this is going to be family night, and we're going to be able to talk about anything. Everything. Look at everybody drooling. But it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. When I was in Carolina, and Clarice and I, and we were watching Fred do his Bible study, I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take that home. So we're going to do that. I'm excited about it. Everybody's like, grinning. They can't wait. But it'll be a different kind of service. Ain't going to be a bunch of, like, remember when Brother Childers always had a Sunday night service? He said, we ain't having a bunch of singing, and I'm doing a bunch. We're not doing a bunch of singing. Not doing a bunch of formalities. Don't need song leaders. Don't need musicians. You're like, what? It's going to be just family night. So it's going to be good. Amen. So bring those questions for Jay. Amen. How faith works in the believer. We are believers. We walk in faith. Nobody else even understands our faith. You believe for something for 20-something years, they look at you like you're crazy. Because they don't know how faith works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You walked out on your life believing that it's going to happen.
Amen.
That's how it works. That's how we work. That's how the Word of God works.
Amen.
We're going to go into the rapture because the Word says so.
Amen.
We're going to get a body change because the Word says so. The dead are going to get up because the Word says so. And I've got faith in all of that, and that produces a life.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get there. I ain't finished yet. Faith will produce a life.
Amen.
Remember I said the two sides. I only got one side.
Right, right.
But there is something that faith will cause you to do.
Sure.
But that's another subject for another day. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for your word. Thank you for faith, real faith, revelation faith. And that's what each believer has. And we're standing on those promises knowing that, Lord, you will see us through no matter what comes our way. Because you've already declared the ends from the beginning. And you know that we're ordained to go all the way. That's why you gave us the Holy Ghost. To lead and guide us. To help us through this life. And by revelation, we stand on your word knowing that, Lord, you will make sure it manifests totally. Ask you to help us, Lord, to be stronger in the faith, stronger in the word, knowing that, Lord, your word is true and heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Ask you to just help us, Lord. Bless us. Help us to be stronger, stronger believers, stronger standing, not let Satan toss us at all. Oh, it's not an hour to be tossed at all by Satan, by troubles and trials and tribulations and ups and downs. Those things don't toss us. We're believers of your word. And your word doesn't change. And neither do we. Ask you to be with this congregation. Just, Lord, just let this message make us walk a little taller. Stand up on our toes a little higher. Knowing who we are stronger than ever before. Knowing that my very life is lived by faith. And that you're going to see me through everything. Thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows, sunshine, or rain. I know my Lord ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries in vain.
Pastor, can I testify?
Yes, you can.
I've got so much to say, and I know I probably won't get it all out. You know, I never do. But I love that message about faith. You know, I was already thinking about Grandma, and it just made me think about her even more. You know, I went over Monday. Let me start Monday morning. I was listening to the Isaacs and different stuff driving on my way up to Greenville, and I don't cry a lot, but I started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, you know, something's going on with Grandma. And I got a text later on that day that David went to work, found Grandma on the floor. So took her to the hospital, had a whole list of issues, but she didn't care what they were. And by the time I got there after work, they had already had her on Dilaudid. She was, you know, it's a strong painkiller. She was out of her mind. And but I held her hand, and she came to long enough to say, Lord's taking care of me.
Amen.
I'll be all right.
Amen.
And it's like, I like faith like that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, and I like the authority. You know, I was a couple weeks ago, I had talked to my manager about something, this route that was, they had it set up so stupid. I'm like, as busy as we are, we don't have time to waste time. You know, and I've told this supervisor, this one, they haven't done nothing about it. He said, give it to me. I'll take care of it. I just thought, that's authority.
That's right.
Just give it to God. He'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. It could be cancer. You could be having nightmares about something. I don't know what it is, you know, but God's a healer.
Yes,
he can heal in many different ways, and I know Grandma got her healing.
Oh, yes,
she's right where she wants to be, and we were joking about it, and, like, we think she probably ran right past Grandpa
mm-hmm.
and went to go hug her mom.
That's right.
And
hug
Grandpa a little bit later. But she missed her mom, and we know she missed her dad. And
oh, yeah.
I love having an answer to everything.
Amen.
You know, I got answers in here to any problem.
That's right.
You know, another example, Father's Day just passed. I told my dad, Happy Father's Day. He said, thanks. That was it. Didn't see him. Haven't seen him. The only time I've seen him in a couple years is court.
Mm-hmm.
I Never would have thought I'd have that kind of relationship with him. But you know what? All wrongs will be made right.
That's right. That's right.
All wrongs will be made right. They'll understand it all by and by.
Oh, yeah.
And
amen, brother.
I just like having an answer to everything. You know, this is my home. I love this church. I'm never leaving. I love this word, and I love that message.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Living by faith. Key of C. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my work is in vain. For I am living by faith. It's going to get high. Can we start at least in D? give me a little bit. I feel like I'm in the basement. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I am trusting because some sweet day, our troubles will